welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Very blessed because I'm preaching from John 3, chapter 3, which is a good one. So let us begin. If you have your Bibles, open them up in your apps. John 3. Spurgeon said, "If you were asked to read to a dying man who did not know the gospel, you should probably select this chapter as the most suitable one for the occasion." John 3, well, let's just read the first three verses. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. No one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly,'" or in the Greek, "amen, amen, absolutely, listen, this is important, "I'm saying this to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven," kingdom of God. So this is a prominent religious leader. He's a ruler. He's coming at night. Was he being timid or busy? It's not clear. But he was seeking the truth. He knew that there's something about Jesus. This guy's obviously touched by God. So I need to talk to this man, which good for him for seeking the truth. That's a great start. Whether he was a bit timid about it or not, he was seeking the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 10b says, "They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved." If you don't love truth, then you'll prefer lies and you won't find out about Jesus. But Jesus says very strongly, you must be born again. Everyone in this church, you must be born again. It's essential. I remember when I was a young Christian and people used to say, "Are you one of those born again Christians, a born againer?" And that was kind of like some sort of mockery. There is no other kind of Christian, okay? If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. You're not in. You must be born again. And he even says, if you're not born, I tell you, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. You have no real experience of the kingdom of God. You don't really experience Christianity, actually, if you're not born again. So you can be a churchgoer, and there are churchgoers who are not born again. There's not been real repentance. There's not been a wonder in God's word. They're not aware of the sweetness of worship. They might like church because it's a nice social place and maybe they've just always come to church. But do they love to worship? Do they sense something about God? Do they love the word of God, or do they think it's a textbook that they can critique? I hate the way people do that. They don't recognize truly noble, anointed ministers of the gospel. They just think, "Yeah, I don't agree with, you know, the pastor when he does that." It's like, do you understand when something is from God? They can't, because they can't see it. They can't see the glory of God. They cannot see it. So we need to know that we are born again. Human effort cannot bring new life, just as a baby can't birth itself. Like it's not in its control when a baby is born. It has to be born in an almost supernatural way. I mean, it's natural, it happens, but the baby's not in charge, is it? So in verse 4, we see Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" And then Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God." So the water there is a little bit of, what does that mean? But probably referring to the Holy Spirit anyway, the washing of regeneration, if you like, that we see in baptism. But he said, this is something that you should understand. He said, you've got to be born of the flesh. So he's repeating it. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then in verse 7, don't marvel at this that I said to you, you must be born again. This is because of the depravity of our nature. We don't understand sometimes how bad we are, how self-righteous we think we are, how separate from God we are. We think, I'm all right, I'm not a murderer. And go shooting people. That's pretty much our standard these days. Every other sin seems to be acceptable, or just about. But I'm not a murderer, therefore I'm all right. But it's like, no, you don't understand. It's the fact that we think that we're all right, the fact we don't understand that we don't glorify God, we don't recognize Him, we don't lay down our lives for Him. There's such a wrongness inside of us, and it comes out all the time. People go, I just want world peace. It's like, well, why don't you just get on with your neighbor? You can't do that, can you? I just want world peace. Yeah, but you can't even, you're not even talking to your brother that you're estranged from. You don't get on with your own mother. Like, constant problems and issues in our own relationships, in our work, in our life, and then it just expands into the world. And all the evil that we see in the world is because of sin. Every little bit of it. It's individual sin that gets magnified on the world stage. But it's all the problem of the nature of mankind, and that's why we must be born again. He says, don't be surprised. You need to start again. You need a whole new spirit on the inside of you. That's what he's saying. I found a lovely new heroine. I love finding out about amazing Christians. I just love it. Can't wait to meet her. She's in heaven now. But her name was Marie Monson. And she was a Norwegian missionary to China from 1901 to 1932. And there was this massive revival in parts of China at this time. And it was she was just this sweet, beautiful Norwegian lady. But she had this thing that she would ask people if they were born again. Because there was quite a lot of Christians, actually. And, I mean, they're very brave, these missionaries. I love it. Like, she went to China right after this huge rebellion. It was called the Boxer Rebellion. And the Chinese were really just angry with all these foreigners. And so they just killed off all these foreigners, killed off all these missionaries. And in her Norwegian church, they heard all about this. And then she thought, oh, I should go. It's like, mate, they were so brave. They were so wonderful. But she went. And she ministered there for 30 years, and I've just been reading her book. It's a beautiful book. She's a beautiful lady. Actually, Brother Yun, who is another Chinese man of God, he loved her because she got people saved in his region. She was quite well known. And so he talks about her as well. But she would ask people, are you born again? And she tells a story about a pastor. She calls him Pastor D, to protect his identity. She says he was an especially kind man, always busy about his work in a large church. He was warm-hearted and pleasant. But still, I asked him the question. Because in spite of all the good that had been said of him, we were not on the same wavelength, which is interesting. Because sometimes when you are born again and you talk to someone who's not born again, so they're not in the kingdom, it's like, something's not right. What is that? And he's a pastor. So she asked him the question, are you born again? And very seriously he answered, I wish I knew. That question has been my one great problem for a long time. I feel as if I were living in a large empty house with neither doors or windows, in which I'm forever groping along the walls trying to find a way out. Marie says, my heart was filled with a great wave of compassionate love when I had to tell him he was an unsaved man. Ha, he said, I've never been a sinner. I've never been a sinner who needed a saviour. The answer almost fell out of my mouth, but you are a blind leader of the blind. She was bold. He went away quietly and intercession was made for him. A few days later he came back. He was convicted. I have been a hypocrite. I was totally blind, but now I see. He was set free, and his testimony was a great blessing to many people. So He didn't even know that he wasn't born again. And he was up there doing Christian work and teaching and doing all sorts of things, but he wasn't born again. He'd never actually had that experience where he'd entered in. You can be going to church, you can believe in the Bible, you can believe in the gospel, you can believe in God. You can do things for God, but never be born again. There's got to be something that happens. There's got to be, I mean, in heaven, I guess it's a moment, but it's different for everyone. Look in verse 8, I like this. It says, the wind blows where it wills and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell what it comes, where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So it's different for absolutely everyone how they're born again. And I've had a lot of fun in the last couple of weeks because I've been asking everyone, how did you get born again? Tell me about your born again. I've been asked, I followed Marie. I thought, I want to be like her. She's amazing. So I'll do what she did. Are you born again? Or tell me about being born again. And I've had a lovely time. He works powerfully, the Holy Spirit. You know when the wind has been, because you've got to pick leaves up off the courtyard wall, you can see the results, but you don't know how he's going to come. You don't know, and every one of us probably has a different story, but you need to have a story. You need to know that you're born again. He's sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. Some people have these amazing experiences, and some people's experiences is very calm and not so amazing. I spoke to Harriet. She said she was at church and she prayed the sinner's prayer because she said, because I was such a mess. I can't imagine you being a mess, Harriet, but she says she was. And she said, after I prayed, there was a whoosh and I was on fire. It was so powerful. She said, I was so excited. I knew something great happened to me. I had such joy. I wanted to serve God. Everyone thought I was crazy. They thought I joined a cult. I can imagine Harriet being like that. But my husband, on the other hand, was just 15. Someone told him about being born again. He thought, yeah, I need to get born again. So he got down on his bed, age 15, asked Jesus into his heart and was like, is that it? Did that work? You didn't know at the time if it was any different. You just felt the same. So then he did it again. He thought, well, that didn't seem to work. I'll try again. So maybe we should ask, are you born again? But no, really. Maddie Puller, I asked. Maddie said, I made a decision at church and I didn't feel anything in particular. Then later, when she was reading the book, she opened the book of Mark, she said the word came alive. Because the word is often dead when you're not born again, because it's just like, it doesn't live, doesn't bring life into your spirit, because you can't see it. You can't see. But she said the word came alive. She felt so excited. Then she realized that God had always been with her, but she had forgotten him in the good times. She'd only called on him when she needed help. She repented of that. So praise the Lord. There's just a few little examples. Now let's keep going. So verse 9 and 10, Nicodemus said, how can this be? And Jesus said, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? And then verse 11 and 12, I won't read it all. But basically, it's interesting because there are clear prophecies in the Old Testament. He's saying, you should know about this, Nicodemus. There's clear prophecies. In Jeremiah, he says, I will write my law on your hearts. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. So this is what was always promised, that this was going to be this amazing thing. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came on certain people at certain times, on kings and priests, to do their job. But we live in a better time, an amazing time, when God says the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you and take that shriveled up, dead old spirit in you that died from sin and give you a new spirit, like a new spirit, like God. Oh, that's what it means to be born again. You are literally have a new spirit on the inside of you. And he says, and I'll write my law on your heart. So you don't have someone, you don't need people to tell you you should come to church. Why? You want to come to church. When you're born again, you love coming to church. You don't need people to tell you that you shouldn't steal from your boss or that you shouldn't, you know, drink too much, whatever. You know. Because the law's in your heart. The Holy Spirit convicts. He shows you. He shows you the truth. So my first point is the necessity of the new birth. Let's look in verse 11 to 15 at the source of the new birth. In verse 13, he says, "No one ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of God who was in heaven." The new birth was planned by God and happens only by God. We can make a decision and God, can, who knows our heart, can touch that, but you can't force that. One of the things Marie said was to be very, she used to tell her other people that worked with her, be very careful, don't pluck unripe fruit. Because some people can make an emotional sort of thing, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'll have that. It's like, at the end of the day, only God knows if you're born again, and you should know eventually, but you can't just say, well, I want to be born again, so I'm born again. I just decide right now. It's like, it comes from above. It comes from Jesus. It must be the Holy Spirit who does this work in our life. And part of that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. So going back to Marie again, there's elements of the new birth. I sort of picked out all the different elements of the new birth, you know, that you make a decision. But one of the elements is that conviction of sin, this awareness that you need to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again, but you need this conviction. Again, she tells this story about this whole group of Chinese women. And after she had preached them about being born again and the necessity of this, she said that the conviction of God was falling on these people. And you often hear about this in revivals, that one of the elements of revival is this tremendous conviction, this sense of sin, this sense of, I'm a sinner. I had the same thing when I was born again at the age of 10. I just was so aware that I was a sinner. And honestly, if you ask me now, I don't even know what sin I did. I was a pretty good little 10-year-old. I mean, it's not like, you know, I really don't, I didn't have a sense of any particular sin apart from, you know, I don't know, maybe not setting the table when Mom asked me. Nothing. But I knew I was a sinner because I wasn't right with God. I wasn't right with God, and that means I'm a sinner because we have sin in our very nature. And these women came to her, one by one they came to see her saying, "You've got to help us, you've got to help us." And one woman in particular said, "I must go first. I am in such pain. I cannot wait." Once behind the closed door, she threw herself down on her knees with her head on the floor, and her confession gushed from her like a black flood. Some of these women, she'd shared earlier, they didn't have access to abortion. So if they had a baby they didn't want, they just let it die. And a lot of them felt terrible about that. She said, we have terrible nightmares. Because, you know, whether you kill a baby when it's just come out of the womb or whether you kill it in the womb, it's very evil and very, very, very damaging for these women. And they were, I mean, that was obviously one of the sins, but there were others. When she had finished her confession, she rose, and then I saw eternal life and light shining in her eyes, and the peace of God radiated from her face. That head looks that had looked so weary and worn before. She was saved without human help. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So that's the wonder of being born again, is that, yes, we get convicted, and yes, good preaching sometimes does convict you. I hope you're not always comfortable when Chris and I preach. We would be bad pastors if you were. We would be bad pastors. I remember one time someone left the church when Eleanor preached. Yay, it's not just me. So seriously, she preached. I thought it was just a perfectly normal message, but someone got very upset about that message and they ended up leaving the church. But so that's good. If I'm ever preaching, or Chris or anyone's preaching, and you feel not good that she left, I'd rather that people stay. But it's good to be convicted sometimes. That's a good thing, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin. And we're still, while we're not sinners, once we're born again, we're a new person, but we still sometimes sin. And so if ever you hear someone in church in the anointing saying something that bothers you, don't just dismiss it. Don't just go, oh, well, that's just wrong. I don't like that. Or, you know, I'm not coming to church for a while, whatever. Go and humble yourself before God. Humble yourself and say, is that me? Maybe I need to change. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting me. That's a good thing, because we've got this black flood that she talks about inside of us, this ugliness, this wound, this ulcer that needs to be lanced. And it's a good thing. We want to get rid of that. We want to be clean and pure. So conviction is the only way to repentance. So if you're being convicted, praise the Lord. Go home, humble yourself and say, okay, God, and let God wash you clean so you can experience that beautiful peace, that beautiful newness of life. That's what God wants. A lot of people think that Christians are tough and they just want to, you know, make you feel bad and they're annoyed. It was just, you know, with this whole Charlie Kirk thing, which I'd never even heard of him before, but he made a lot of people very angry. And it's like, they think that the Christians, they think he was bad for making them angry, apart from the political side of things, but just the Christian side of things as well. Makes them angry that he stood against, you know, whether it was homosexuality or trans or all that. He was very bold. And of course he's going to convict you because he wants to save you. He wants you to be in heaven. It's not nice to just go, oh, don't worry, you can just sin and then suffer for all eternity in hell. That's not loving. That's not loving at all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be condemned, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There it is again. He loved the world so much. He loves everyone in the world, every single person, all those difficult people that you have to play hockey with. We had this really great player join our team and she's so good, she annoyed some of the other players. And so they left our team. They were like, we don't want to play with her. She's strong. You know, some of these really sporty people, they're quite, you've got to kind of manage them because they're very competitive. Sort of goes along with being very sporty. Some of you are laughing. I don't know, is that Nikki? Oh, we're finding out a lot about Nikki lately, aren't we? This whole netball thing. But it's true. I've noticed that. When I first married Chris is very competitive, and I was surprised to see on the tennis court, actually, just how a competitive nature goes along with this sort of a certain aggression on the sporting field, which is good. But you've got to manage it when you're just one of the nice people on the field, which is what I am, because I'm not that good. So, completely lost my train of thought there. I have no idea why I've got into the sporting realm. I'm just going to disappear into the sporting realm. But I did say about that, oh, well, they can leave and we'll have this really great player and we'll win the competition. I said that near the beginning of the year, so we did. So praise the Lord. But he doesn't want anyone to suffer. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be saved, and it's a gift. It's a gift. Come on. He gave his only son. How terrible to ignore that. How terrible to ignore that gift. It's the mightiest, greatest gift and the widest welcome for everyone. He loves the world. This is for absolutely everyone. It's the easiest escape. It is. It's so easy. He's done all the work. The easiest escape, the divine deliverance, the priceless possession. So I'll tell you another born-again story. My friend Sherilyn, she had a long-term boyfriend and she'd just broken up with him. She, of course, has given me permission to share this. And he was unfaithful and she said, my life was chaos and I was broken-hearted. She said, I lost everything. She said, I even had a terrible haircut, which, you know, that's, if you're a woman, you know. And Sherilyn, have you seen her hair? She's got this amazing blonde hair. So she went to C3 Church down in Sydney. She heard about, you know, Phil, Pastor Phil. He said, you know, you must be born again. Come up the front. So she put her hand up. She thought, okay, I guess that's what I'll do. She said this, if there's a God, I'd like to know about it. So again, there was an element of decision there, but at that point, she didn't feel much. She didn't feel anything special. But she got given a Bible. She came home, put on the coffee table. But she did say she felt this desire to tell her co-workers, because part of being born again, this is what I said, there's all these elements of being born again, making a decision, conviction, repentance, and confessing with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So she said, when I went to work, I felt this urge to tell my co-workers that I was a Christian, but I was embarrassed about it because I thought Christians were dags. So she said she did this. She said, I went to my boss's office and I knocked on the door. And he was inside, and this is classic Sherilyn. She said, I opened the door and she said, I've become a Christian, and shut the door and went. She said, I thought that I've done it. I've told him I'm a Christian. That's it. But she said, but word spread quickly through the office. of her unusual testimony. And she said all week everyone mocked her. All week. Oh, you're a Christian now. And then they always had drinks on Friday night. So she went to drinks and she said they kept mocking her. So when everyone was ordering their drink, they said, just give her water. She's going to turn it into wine. Ha, ha, ha. And so they're on. They kept teasing her. And so she said, I eventually gave in. I just joined in and started drinking and smoking and just was like, it was just too much. But she said on the way home, she said, I felt terrible. I felt so defeated. I felt so sad. She said, oh, well, I guess that's just the way life is. You don't do what you want to do. She goes, why do I do that? I didn't want to do that. I want to be like those Christians. And she said, I don't want to do those things anymore, but I don't know how to stop. I keep doing them. So she said, I arrived home and I saw the Bible that they'd given me that had sat there all week. I never opened it. She said, I opened it for the first time in my life, and it came to Romans 7. And it says, I don't understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me? I thank God in Jesus Christ. And she was just like, because she literally was saying in the car, I don't know why I do this. I don't want to be like this, but I am like this. What am I going to do? And she opens the Bible, and obviously God just, ta-da, there it is. And she just read it, and she just broke down. She started sobbing. She said the room was flooded with light and joy. I said, physical? She goes, I don't know. I just don't know. I was just in the presence of God. And she says, I stayed up all night praising God, crying and reading my Bible. She said, before I was embarrassed, now I was as bold as a lion. A true boldness entered my soul. I called a meeting at work. And it got them all together. She said they thought I was going to say I was engaged or something like that to the old boyfriend. But she said, I got them all together and I said, Jesus is alive. She said they all thought I'd gone mad. Eventually, she said I had to leave. I was such a different She said I was such a different person. They couldn't take it anymore. They just didn't know how to deal with me. I was a completely different person. So isn't that exciting? It's so exciting what Jesus does when you're born again. So you can see why Jesus said you must be born again. She went from this broken, sad, you know, girl that had been cheated on and had a mess in her life to this amazing woman of God that she is today with a beautiful husband and family and a pastor. And, you know, she found the destiny that she was meant for. So it's just so exciting. It's so exciting. Jesus said, in verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Jesus said that it's your responsibility to respond to this. It's your responsibility. And if you don't respond to God, if you ignore that God sent Jesus to die for you, you are judged. You're already condemned. It's an easy escape to be born again. But if you choose not to be, well, then it's on you. It's your response. What more can God do than send a son to die for you, not to mention witness to you for your whole life and tell you you need to be born again? So it's an insult to God to deny and doubt what God says. Spurgeon said this. It's the very summit of arrogance for any man or woman to say in his heart, God, I doubt your grace, love and power. Or to ignore him, to ignore that, to think that you can live this life and ignore what he has done. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? So there's got to be that element of knowing and examining yourself, and the word of God will show you. And just a special word to people, I noticed that when I spoke to my own children and other children who were born in church, you need to make sure that you're born again too, because it is a slightly different experience, because you may not have ever really gone out into the world in a big way. You're just raised up in church. So I actually preached this at youth. You'll be pleased to know, parents, the other night, and I was pretty solid with them. It's not enough that you're just in church because your parents are in church. You have to make your own decision. But what I did notice was that those elements of being born again were in the ones that were raised in church, because some of them
and I know with some of my kids too, they made a decision when they were 3 or 4. They can barely remember a decision of being born again. But they do remember elements of being born again, elements of whether it was repentance or obedience. One of them said, I knew that I had to get baptized. Or another one was like, I had to yield my desires to them. So there's elements of that, of what it means to be born again. And they had to make sure that those elements were fulfilled at the times that God showed them, so that they know in their hearts that they're born again. But look in verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Isn't that horrible? People love darkness, sin. They love it. People always wonder, why do they do this? It's because they like it. I guess there's an element of enjoying sin, isn't there? I mean, they enjoy their, whatever, you know, their lusts lead them to. They enjoy their own pride of life, their own power in their own selves, their own way of doing things. Some people actively avoid the truth. Others ignore it. But look in verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be seen, that they are clear, that they have been done in God. He who does the truth comes to the light. Those people who love the truth want to come to the truth. They love the truth. They want to come into the light. It's like, help me. Where am I missing it? It's a delight to be exposed. We're not hiding. We're not trying to not be seen. We want more of God. So, we must be born again. It's a very simple message, really. I asked God, what do you want me to say? And he said, tell them they must be born again. Make sure every one of you here knows in your heart, I am born again. Examine yourself. Test yourself. I read out to the youth a whole list of tests. The Bible actually has quite a lot of tests to show that you're born again. I read them all out. Said, go through and tick them off. Hopefully they tick them all off. Did you, Mia? Did you tick them all off? You must be born again. And notice that when you're born again, your light and your life will be transformed, and you will shine, your life will shine for Jesus. It will. And you will be transformed. Notice it says he who does the truth. So it started off that Nicodemus was seeking the truth. But then once he found the truth, now you've got to do it. You've got to act and do what is true. And just to finish off, Nicodemus actually did do that, because during the trial of Jesus, it says Nicodemus spoke up and supported Jesus. And then again, he helped with his burial. So Nicodemus is like, yes, I'm fairly confident that we'll meet Nicodemus up there in heaven, along with, you know, Charlie Kirk and Marie Monson and all these. I mean, we'll just have so much fun in heaven talking to all these people, won't we? It'll be a long time. But if you're not born again, Jesus said in John 3:16, I just want to read that again. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're not born again, you will perish, because you've refused to accept what Jesus said you must have. You refuse that. But when you're born again, there's everlasting life, eternal life, and it will be an exciting life. Come on, let's pray. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us all here, that we would know that we are born again or not, and we would be desperate to get right with you, Father God. In Jesus' name, touch every heart here, I pray, and speak to us. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus, Jesus. than that, Jesus.